You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Shelley Bosworth. We have a pretty deep conversation about Shelley's transformative journey. It's a little intense, to be honest, because this story includes some big and profound life events. Because this is a show about choices and changes, we talk about how these experiences in her life pushed her to make significant shifts in her very real life. Not all of the conversation is heavy. I do ask for some joyous stuff to be thrown in there too from my guests. And there might be a quick conversation about skydiving. Yeah, that happens too. So, are you ready? I'm ready. Let's go. Shelley Bosworth, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Me too. Are you ready for a great conversation?
I am certainly ready for a great conversation.
Let's do it. I begin every interview by asking my guests where they are in the world and where they're talking to me from. So where are you today?
I am in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates.
Wow. That was an unexpected answer. I love it. I love it. That is very exciting. Is that where they have the skydiving over the landmass that looks like the palm tree?
Oh, yes.
Have you done that yet?
I've not done the skydive. Funny enough, I was staying in a beautiful villa on the palm last week, running one of my retreats. And yes, we do have an island in the shape of a palm. We're building a second one and you can skydive across it. I've skydived once in my life. I'll be honest, I'm never doing it again. It was not a pleasant experience for me. So that's it. That's done on the bucket list.
I've never done it. I bungee jumped, which is why I've never done skydiving. But a friend of mine sent me a video years ago of him doing that jump. And I sent him back a thank you note that I said, thank you very much for sending me this video because I no longer feel like I need to do it. All right. I'd love to learn a little bit more about you before I dive in. For the people who have been listening to a lot of my episodes, I've mixed up this question a little bit. Starting today, I'm going to be more specific. Tell us a little bit about a hobby or a pastime that you enjoy.
Okay, so hobby or pastime, gosh. I'm a workaholic and proud of it because I love the work I do. So in and around that, what one should I do? My husband and I are both foodies, and it is one of the joys of living in Dubai. So if I'm not here in the house in the office, I'm probably on my way or at a very nice restaurant or bar, because I like a glass of wine too, enjoying the very wide range of culinary delights that we have in this country.
Fantastic. A foodie. Do you also cook?
I do, but I'm not very good. I am very fortunate. I've married a very good cook.
Okay.
And so there's very much a culture here in Dubai of eating out and delivery of everything, not just like takeaways like I know from the world of the UK where I grew up. But my husband likes to cook and it's his decompress from his working day time.
Sure.
So I, you know, sit leisurely and let him cook and hear about his day. It's a nice life.
Fantastic. Yeah. So but there's two different, you know, foodies fall into two camps, foodie in the kitchen, right? And foodie in restaurant. I mean, you can be both. It's not like a linear.
Absolutely. Line. Yeah. Yeah. And husband falls into both of those.
There you go. All right. So now the topic of the day. You proposed a topic of a time when a lot of things happened in your life. And you say that put everything into a very different perspective. And that's how you decided to make huge changes in your life. Sound like something worth talking about today?
I certainly hope so.
All right, let's do it. All right, let's begin by talking about, I'm going to walk you through, this is a big story. And so I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to share what you shared on your intake form. Both of your parents had health issues, and so did you. And you hit a milestone birthday in there somewhere. I'm going to actually start with something that might seem like an unrelated question to those things. But let's talk for a minute about your wedding. When was it? How old were you? Was it a wonderful day?
Yeah, so we got married in 2015, and it was the most, I mean, look, it's the best wedding I've ever been to, quite frankly.
Fair enough.
It was the most wonderful day experience. I couldn't have asked for anything to have gone better. We had the weather we wanted and everything. But it was actually, that was the week that changed our lives because, and yes, because of the wedding, but it was, and it was actually my in-laws. So apologies if I've not written that correctly in the, on our pre-positioning form. It was 4 days after our wedding that our lives changed completely and the domino started. And that was
Okay.
when, my father-in-law was diagnosed, dot, dot, dot. I'll hold that
Yeah,
until
no,
it all.
I'm not actually going for like a big secret reveal or anything, but trying to
No,
lay it out so it
at
makes
all. I want
sense.
to, So we got married at the seaside in the UK and we could not have asked for a better day, June 2015.
Very good. Now, so weddings are kind of an interesting life benchmark, like a wild benchmark, because it is a time where we think intentionally about planning a long future. We have a vision of now and forever, and we are doing those things. We're planning, sometimes you are moving in together, all of those things you think about. You think about all the things. You get married and you sometimes have that vision of growing old together. So it is an interesting benchmark. And so I wanted to ask you if you remember back, because your life changed very rapidly shortly after this, what were some of the life changes that you had in mind in this wedding phase of your life?
Such a great question. Interestingly, and just to caveat before I answer that, I had never intended to get married. I had no desire to get married. I wasn't one of those little girls that planned her wedding. In fact, I was quite anti-marriage. So I love this question. It's such a great question because in the lead up to the wedding, we were absolutely talking about the life that we were going to now live. And so we were both in the corporate space, we were working lots of hours, but one of our big things was, now we're doing this, something needs to shift and change because we want to enjoy our lives together. So we'd really recognize that we were working a lot of hours, and we were probably, like so many will resonate with if you've had a corporate career, working for the holiday. And we were like ships in the night. So we both worked away a lot as well. And so we'd already started to put things in place where we made time for each other. We'd both seen relationships break down around us. I was, in my late 30s when we got married. So I think we both came into it with a real, we're going to learn from the mistakes we've seen. I certainly, that's why I didn't want to get married, because I'd seen so many mistakes.
Absolutely.
And we're going to make time for each other. And I guess we had some wild dreams. We're going to travel the world. We're going to, we bought our house. We actually moved into our marital home 3 weeks after our wedding. We have big plans for that. I think there was also a bit of stability because we've both been very career driven. It had always been about work. And
Yeah.
so the first time, and we would both say this, for the first time, we were actually letting someone else in, but we were very aligned on where we wanted that to go. We had very aligned goals and dreams. We still do to this day, but yeah.
No,
Living.
that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I thought that would be a good, because this is now the comparison of what you thought you would be building and what you're actually building, which is so often a very different thing. There's a phrase in the States, I don't know if it's global, but it's like if you want to see God source the universe laugh, make a plan, right? It's like make a
That's
plan.
a brilliant, no, actually, I've not heard that.
You've
That is a
never heard that.
brilliant phrase. I
Yeah.
will never forget. I love that.
Yeah,
Yeah, God, it's brilliant.
exactly. So you get a diagnosis for your father-in-law
Yes.
very quickly after the wedding. Tell us what, share us the news that happened that week.
Yeah. So we got married on the Saturday. We went off for a little mini moon. We were having our honeymoon later in the year. My in-laws lived in Italy, so they'd come over to the UK for the wedding. My father-in-law had not been well, but nobody, we couldn't really get to the bottom of what was going on. But, he was getting a little bit older, albeit he was actually only 62, 62, 63. He was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's 4 days after our wedding.
That's huge. One of the things that struck me about this story is that it's very much in the headlines of the news, the just massive increase in people who are living with memory loss and cognition problems. And that means that there's also a massive increase in the family caretakers and the people who are living with family members and friends who are going through this. And so I want to thank you for sharing this part of the story. So this changed. How did this change your life?
What was really interesting, I mean, and I think many people can relate to this in any diagnosis of an illness. So, as I said, he had something wasn't right. We just didn't know what. And he'd seen various specialists, and then this diagnosis came in. And it was almost, the best way I can describe it is it felt like he'd got a permission slip to stop hiding what he didn't, he wasn't necessarily consciously hiding, but he clearly didn't want us to know how much he'd been struggling. But
Sure.
he was as shocked as we were by the diagnosis. But what this meant was actually the deterioration was quite quick. It was genuinely like he just let himself show the struggles. And the more he showed the struggle that he was having, the more we saw. And forgive the wording if this isn't correct, but the worse he got. And we watched a strong, independent man disappear before our eyes in a very short period of time. Now, some would say that's a blessing because, you know, anybody that's experienced Alzheimer's, dementia in the family, it can go on for years. It is heartbreaking to watch. It didn't go on for years. I mean, it was years, but not multiple years. It was less than 3 years that we dealt with that as a family. That being said, that was the first 3 years of our marriage.
Fair.
As I alluded, my in-laws lived in Italy, so very quickly it became very clear that that wasn't the right option for them. So actually, as a family, we went very much into, I guess, solution mode. We needed to get my in-laws back into the UK. We needed to bring them into a situation where we could support them. And that's what we did. The next 6 to 9 months were really about get them back into the UK, get them settled into a home. He stayed within the family home for 6, 7 months, but he deteriorated so quickly he had to go into a home, an assisted living home
Yeah.
in the UK. Yeah. So
Supervision, 24-hour supervision.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Within 18 months, he did not know who any of us were. He couldn't do anything for himself anymore. And he was 65.
Oh my goodness, that's so young. That's so young. Okay, so he passes away, is
Yes.
the way this goes. It's a hard story. And I appreciate how methodically you went through it, and you've obviously talked about it a lot. Because it is a tough time. Thank you for sharing. Your mom got a diagnosis very quickly, or your mother-in-law
Yes,
got
mother.
a diagnosis very shortly after he passed. Tell us about that and tell us what the emotions were when you got that news.
Yeah, so father-in-law passes away. There's an element of relief, grief and relief involved, as anyone who's ever experienced, as I said, Alzheimer's dementia can imagine. And so we came out the other side of that. My mother-in-law was heartbroken. They had been married 35 years. They had two, but they were tight. She was absolutely heartbroken. And so we obviously spent the next few months being there for her as she navigates, okay, this life that she hadn't planned. This wasn't supposed to be their story. They'd retired. They were going to live out their life in Italy. I'm going to share almost a little layer of detail of kind of how the next part unfolded. So she had come to stay with us for the weekend, as she often did. We were still very much looking out for her. And she was genuinely starting to talk about, you know, I think I need to do this. I'm thinking about getting a job. You know, I'm not caring for Boz every single day. I'm not doing, you know, I'm going to get a little part-time job. She had a cough. And she stayed with us for the weekend. On the Monday morning, she was getting ready to leave. My husband had gone to work and I was going to work a bit later. And she still got this chesty cough, and she said she'd slept really badly the night before. And I said to her, "Well, you just go to the doctor's on the way home, because that doesn't sound right. And you've had that for a few weeks. I think you need to see the doctor. Stop playing the martyr." You know, gave her a bit of a kick up the backside. And I said to my husband, "I just think it's the last 3 years. It's all caught up with her. It's taking its toll. She's not looked after anyone but dad for the last 3 years." And that afternoon, she called and she said, "The doctor said I've got a really severe case of bronchitis, but he's a little bit concerned. And he just wants to keep an eye on me." 6 days later, I can do the timeline because, yeah, that's how crazy this story is. 6 days later, her best friend rang my husband and said, "I'm really worried about your mum. She's struggling to breathe. I'm taking her to A&E." And within 2 weeks, we had a lung cancer diagnosis and it was terminal. And it's interesting, isn't it? The body's an amazing thing. The doctors were really clear that actually the mass on her lung had been there for a period of time. And essentially, the mind and the body had probably, and I surmise slightly here, but they believe had kind of said, we don't have time to deal with this right now. We're looking after dad. And of course, she'd finally taken a breath. I've got goosebumps even telling you the story. So yeah, she was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. It was I can't pronounce it, so forgive me. It was related to asbestos.
Okay.
Yeah,
In
from,
the in here we now call that COPD, I think. So
Ah, yes. Okay, so it's got asbestos. I can't pronounce that word. Anyway, there was options for treatment, but it was terminal. It would have only potentially given her a bit more time, and given what she had just been through and watched her sons go through with their dad, she did not want to put them through that. So she made the decision she didn't want to prolong what little time she had, and we made the very best of what we thought would be up to 6 months, and it was 11 weeks.
Oh, that's so fast. All right. Thank you for sharing. All right. So anytime I tell a story where we're going through like I don't want it to be like a highlight of grief and those kind of things. I want to give you a chance to share a good story about these people in your life, because they are so much more than the last time they spent with you. And I mean, this story we're telling from your perspective is that you were beginning planning your life and then immediately were sucked into planning, living out necessary parts of these other adults in your life. But tell us something fun or memorable, a memory that you like to hold of these two people before we move past onto the next part of your
Oh
story.
wow. So as I said, these were my in-laws, and so lots of wives moan about the mother-in-laws, right? I do not say this because she's not here now. She was an incredible mother-in-law. She and I would giggle over a glass of Prosecco more often than we should. And my father-in-law was a strong-willed man. We would have many a, I would call it a debate, my husband would say, bordered on arguments sometimes because we were both so opinionated. They welcomed me into their family, and if I could click my fingers and bring them back right now, of course I would. But, and I will say this, we wouldn't be where we are now, living the life we are now, if we had not gone through that. And they would be so proud of where we are and what we are doing. And they are the most wonderful example to us because they retired at 50, they moved to Italy, and they were building the most incredible life. And they were an absolute inspiration. So they, yeah.
Very good. Okay, so thank you for sharing that positive memory, because I like to, otherwise sometimes the story is like it's not meant to be like a cascading, story. But so at this point, you've gone through a lot. But that's not all that's happening. Somewhere in here, you turn 40, which is a massive milestone in modern times. And you shared that you had some health news of your own somewhere in here. Can you tell us about that?
Honestly, you couldn't write it, could you? If someone else were telling me this story, I'd be like, really? But
You'd be
I
like,
can
I'd be
remember.
like, you're tell is this you recounting for me a Hallmark movie? Because
Honestly, we would literally sound like this. Honestly, are you kidding me? This, can we take it? Yeah, so in that, I did turn 40. And I think we bigged that one up. Like we built, big is the wrong word, actually. We built that up. Because I will say my 40s have been the most amazing decade ever. So, but I was nervous about turning 40. And I guess part of that was what we were experiencing as well. I was getting into this kind of questioning life mode because of everything that was going on around us. And then yeah, I feel a bit of a fool when I tell this part of the story because I used to wear a lot of scarves. I feel like I need to put that into this story. I used to wear a lot of scarves a lot of the time. It's always cold in the UK. And one day in the midst of all this, I'm trying to remember exactly when, this was in between my father-in-law, it was the latter stages of my father-in-law and yeah, early 2018, before my father-in-law passed away. I was in the mirror doing my makeup. I was like, I remember just looking at myself in the mirror and thinking, strange, my neck looks swollen. And the more I looked at it, the more I could see that my neck was swollen. But then, you know what it's like, the more you're looking, the more you're convinced there's something going on in your
Yes.
neck.
Was it there
But my husband came
before?
home that night and I was like, very strange question. I didn't want to say, does my neck look swollen? But I was like, Can you see anything strange or any swelling anywhere in my upper area? And he said, actually, now you say it, your neck looks a bit swollen. Anyway, long story short, feel a bit of an idiot with this. Went that night to the local clinic and said, like, is there any chance of seeing someone? And they said there and then, why have you waited so long to come in? Well, I only noticed it today. And essentially, I had nodules on my lymph node, and one of those nodules was really large. And so there was an immediate worry around cancerous nodules on my lymph node, my thyroid gland, lymph on my thyroid gland. I'm pointing at my throat, which obviously no one can see when they're listening to a podcast. You can. It was on my throat. So it was my thyroid gland, which was very quickly, thankfully, discovered to be benign, but it was growing. So they monitored for 3 months and it continued to grow. And so there was concern about the swelling actually restricting my airway and my breathing. So that had to be removed. So I had a partial thyroidectomy in the middle of all of this too, which I guess, look, it was a scary moment because the C word gets mentioned.
Right, the uncertainty and on the pile of all of the other external stress.
Exactly. And again, I was always one of those. I don't get ill. You know, I very rarely go to the doctors. I power through because that's what we do. And actually, it was a moment of, you know what? I'm not invincible. And how many signals do you need, Shelley, from the universe that there's more important stuff in life?
Right. Well, I would say you were getting a rainstorm of signals. Like, if for anybody who believes in that kind of thing, which, it's just like it's sometimes you feel like, it's, oh my gosh, like, what is, why? The question becomes, why is all this happening? And there's two ways to look at it. A, it's just happening and life is random. And B is, what do I want to make this mean for me and my life? And so that's a lot of stress. That's a lot of change. You're in a new marriage. Let's talk briefly about what kind of support you and your husband had around you as you were going through all of these things.
My husband has a very small family, so actually my role was to take on a massive support for him because he has one sibling, his two parents. There was an aunt, is an aunt. But they were a very small family, and my husband took on a lot of that. I nearly used the word burden there, and I don't want to, but I think it's a fair to call it that. It felt like that for him sometimes. So my role was to really kind of support and hold him up. I have a larger family, and I'm really grateful to them because they were there for me, and my friends were there for me. So I think we would both say our friends and family really stood up for us. We just knew they were there if and when we needed them. But equally, they knew to just kind of leave us to deal with what we were dealing with. There was never any pressure. It was always just the knowing we're here. If you need to scream, vent, rant, run away, we've got your back, basically, which I think is all anyone can do. People want to fix, people want to make it all better, but you can't. Sometimes you just need to know they're there when you need them. And that's what my friends and family were.
Yes, that is actually what a lot of research and advice says. It's much easier to say and to observe when people do it right than it is to put into place, because the instinct is to try and jump in and offer to do things. But it is the action of sitting next to somebody and seeing them as themselves, just being a witness to their life and being present, instead of showing up and saying, "Hey, would you like me to make you a salad?" It's an interesting thing because I talk to people a lot about grief. I talk to people a lot about grieving. People sometimes get very flustered and frustrated by the people around them who don't understand what they're going through and don't handle it correctly. And that can happen even if you're aware that it's just really hard. People don't know. You don't get trained on this until you get through it. So if the timing is off, it's weird. It's not the griever's job to educate the person around them how they're supposed to behave. And then also, just because that's the way it goes, when you're going through these high stress situations, you're so tapped out that occasionally you're just like, F all of you. And
Well,
it happens in like really
absolutely.
random things. It's like, the lady at the grocery store, the person on the phone, traffic.
You are so right. Oh God, you're taking me back into some of those moments in good and great learning ways. I remember at the time, this was my husband's parents. He lost one, then he's about to lose the other one, and men can tend to bottle it up. And I remember the best thing that my friends did for me were just kept saying, "But is he being okay with you? I know you're trying to be there for him."
Right.
But like, is he taking it out on you? Because if you need to take it out on us because you can't take it out on him, that's okay. And it was that kind of, they were giving me permission to vent where I might need to, because there, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to my husband, but there were times when, of course, I was the one that his anger came at because he didn't know where else to direct that. And he was
That's right.
angry, really angry, and understandably. And just for clarity, that's just a frustration anger.
Yes. Yeah. It's just
But
an explosion.
actually,
Yeah.
yeah, and
Yeah.
we need that space. And actually, what he couldn't necessarily do at that time was then take on my anger at the situation. So I had somewhere else for that to go.
That is actually
Yeah.
really good. I tell people all the time, like after my dad died, the year after my dad died, I was on a conversation with a service person from a bank, right? I had to call, which is never the good start to it. It's never anything anybody wants to do. It's, you don't, if your bank is working well, you don't have to call them, right? So this was, but this poor person who answered the phone, I exploded. And as I was doing it, I was apologizing. I was like, I know this reaction is not reasonable, but you're the person who answered the phone and this happens. And I
Oh,
was just
we've
like,
all
and
been here.
so, you know, and now like when I work with people, whenever I hear about one of those explosions, I'm like, oh, you know what? Like, let's take a step back here and look at all the other stress in your life. 'Cause this is outsized. There's something else going on. All right. So all of these things are going on, and you stated that these were influential in making shifts in your life. I had no idea what we were going to talk about when that came today, but I am guessing that one of them is a move. You described them as huge changes. Tell us about some of the things you changed as a result of having all of these things happen over like 8 years. Is that about the time frame?
A little less than that, actually.
Okay.
So this was all, so the this all happened pre-COVID. So this is before we all had our COVID experience as well.
Delightful time in all of our lives.
Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely. This all came to a bit of a head. 2019 was when my mother-in-law passed away, and I, so I'd had my turning of 40 in healthcare. So I guess, as I said, that the turning of 40, with all this going on around us, I was really questioning just like my life. I was questioning kind of what's it all for, and am I really, like, I was on this path. I was doing very well in the corporate world. I'd always been really clear, I'm going to climb the ladder. I'm going to do really well. I'm going to earn the money. I'm going to have all the nice things. I'm just going to make a really great success of myself. That's what I knew. That's what I'd learned. That's what I'd watched. That's what I was doing. And suddenly I found myself kind of going, well, is this it? Like, yeah, I'm going on these nice holidays, but surely there's more. And going through that experience, it taught me so much, and I say now, I also handled it very well, and I did help my husband navigate that, and I helped my mother-in-law navigate, my father-in-law. So I realized, firstly, some skills I had, but also that I wanted to do more. I just didn't know what more meant. So actually, I worked with a coach, and in the working with that coach, I came home to dinner one evening, and my husband asked, "How was your session with your coach today?" And I was kind of doing this whole, like, I was just exploring what might I do with my life? And I said, "Well, it was good. I think I could do that. And I think I'd be really good at it." And his response, without even thinking, was, "I think you'd be brilliant at it." And so this was the starting of. When I decide I'm going to go for something, I don't procrastinate. I tend to go, well, let's find out. Let's move with this. So, we'll soon work out if it's right or it's wrong. So very quickly, I looked into what does it mean to be a coach, like really be a coach? Because I was in a leadership role. I was coaching my team, but I wasn't a coach. And I decided I wanted to go and hone my skills in terms of coaching. So I did a coaching qualification back in the UK. And my intention at that point was, I'm just going to be an even better leader. I'm going to have a bigger impact on people.
That's how the rabbit hole starts.
Right.
Yes.
And my mother-in-law was still with us at this point. Actually, this was when my father-in-law had passed. So that was the first part. And of course, then what happened after that, this was just getting bigger for me. I was like, I'm meant to do more. I want our life to be more. This cannot be all in vain. I am not going back to how life was. And I knew my husband was in the same place. And so very swiftly, first of all, I started this coaching qualification and I was coaching people and I was like, oh my God, this is what I'm supposed to do. I love this. And I don't love it because of some self-fulfilling, hey, look at me. I love what I'm getting to help people with. And I was good at it. I am good at it. And so that it just organically grew and grew and grew. And I was still in corporate at this point. And I got to a point where I was coaching as much as I could outside of my corporate world, outside of my corporate job, and I couldn't do any more. And so a decision needed to be made. I had never considered running my own business, never. And my husband said, well, why don't you give it a go? I mean, what have you got to lose?
Right.
And so that's what I decided to do. I decided to start my own private coaching practice. And so I did. I left my corporate career in 2019. We then just, and in that year, that was the year we decided we were going to leave the UK. We were eventually, so we have a house in Italy, the one that my in-laws has.
Okay.
We bought my brother-in-law out. We do have that house in Italy. That is the longer goal. So that became part of the next vision for our lives. You know, they had totally inspired us. They had been courageous and they'd done what we had thought we were going to do when we were 60. We were like, why would we wait till we're 60? Life's too short. So we just kind of pulled those bigger visions forward and built in a new vision, which is me starting my own business, which I started back in 2019. And yeah,
bizarrely, the pandemic was fantastic for launching. Well, I don't mean the pandemic. I mean, lockdown. Lockdown
yes.
accelerated for a lot of people growth in online coaching businesses. So even though the world was falling apart, your timing actually there from a business perspective may have been pretty solid. So when did you move? Because you did
so
probably...
So we actually moved to Dubai I've got to work out my years. We're in 2025 now, right?
We're in 2025 here, yeah.
Right. So we moved to Dubai in 2023. So okay. We first really explored it in 2020. And of course, then we went through.
Right, exactly. And then it was like, no, you can't even go to the store.
And you're
drive
right.
Through.
Actually, launching a coaching business in 2020 turned out to be quite a good thing. And my story, having already been through life-changing experience, really resonated with people coming out the other side of COVID with a real kind of, there's got to be something else. So that was a lot of work I did initially, really leaning into that. I want to make a change. Then we just kind of quite, again, we'd all been through COVID. We needed a bit of stability. My husband works in the hospitality industry, so he'd had a tough time through the
oh,
COVID.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But it was another, look, life's too short. Let's make this happen. So I guess in earnest, we really started to look at opportunities in 2022. We wanted to get it right. We weren't in a rush per se. We weren't financially, you know, we were in a good position. It was the back end of the summer of 2022 when my husband got the call for the role and brought him out here. And it was, you know, a 4-month process. So we moved out in 2023 and we've been here nearly 2 years.
And you love it.
We absolutely love it. No regrets at all. My business has continued to thrive. My husband has continued to thrive. We are very clear this is a stepping stone to Italy, which is the big life goal. We're probably a little less precious on the timeline on that. So we absolutely live a life is too short, but not in a crazy, spontaneous, every single day way. We're quite measured. We've always got one eye on the now, one eye on the bigger future.
Yeah. Emotionally also that Italy settling is going to, you know, grieving is slow in a lot of ways, and that's definitely tied to your in-laws. So for your husband, that process is probably layered in complication. So what about the experiences do you think directly influenced these changes, going from working for somebody else and working for yourself and relocating internationally? So to rephrase that in a different way, do you think that it's possible? I'm not sure this is a good question, by the way, but let's go with it. Do you think it's possible that you might have made these same changes if none of these things had happened? Is you living in Dubai and relocating and working for yourself a future that existed if your father-in-law and mother-in-law didn't die and you didn't get a nodule on your thyroid?
So I think that, yes, we would have probably been in Dubai. We would have lived in another country, because that was one of the things that we talked about before we got married. We both had an aspiration to live in another country. And I don't think that I would have started my own business. I think that
Okay.
I would have been in the corporate world and it would have been through a corporate opportunity or, my husband's option. I don't think it would have been the business. That is not something that I would have ever considered a route for me. I didn't grow up in a world where my family didn't run businesses. So we didn't know people that run businesses. My in-laws did. They had both run their own businesses. So they had introduced me to, and I remember actually my father-in-law once saying to me, "Well, why wouldn't you run your own business? You practically run other people's businesses for them. And, it's their money." Like he had that
Yeah.
entrepreneurial spirit. They planted that seed, but I don't think I would have actually gone ahead with that had we not gone through that. I do think we would have at some stage lived in another country.
That's a very, it's a very interesting observation about the entrepreneurial mindset, because it is very interesting that people who are operating from that standpoint, they very quickly ask, well, why would I do this for you? You know, it's like the thought in their head. It's like, if I'm going to build this, like what? And sometimes the answer is, oh, because that's the best option is for me to build this for you. That's the better business. And other times it's like, no, wait a second. Let's think it through. But people who have had no exposure to it, they never even run that thought. They never even do that. But the reason I wanted to ask that question, and in a second we'll get to the final questions, but the reason I wanted to ask that question is that there's always that thing bouncing around in the back of the scenario, which is, you know, do we need these really big milestones and mirror points in our life? Or, you know, are there times where we can, you know, sort of do the thought process and be like, oh, let's just think about this. And, you know, so, and I don't have any answers there. It's just a question that's in my mind. Okay, so I want to give you a chance to tell people directly about what you do. So you shifted from corporate leadership into coaching. What do you do, and how can people connect and follow you online?
So I am a business mindset coach. I work with female founders and female execs, and I help them get out of their heads, out of their own way, and take courageous action on the goals they have in their lives.
Very nice. And what's the name of your business?
So my business is Shelley Bosworth Coaching. I like to keep things nice and
There
simple.
you go.
And I'm all about, so I've used that word courage a couple of times. I'm all about courage. I'm all about courageous mindset and courageous action. And I run a beautiful online community, the She Is Courageous Collective, which I'm very proud to be the founder of.
And you have a very generous offer for the audience, which is the She Is Courageous Collective, 3 months of membership for the price of 2 months. And
Yes.
there's a link to redeem that in the show notes. And the very best way for people who are listening to redeem that, to be honest and not to toot my own horn, is to make sure that you're subscribed to the Imperfect Adulting email community, because then you get the newsletter with all the updates of new shows and links to the special offers from the guests. And you just click on it. Easy peasy. Don't have to remember anything. There you go. But it is in all of those places. Shelley, I want to thank you very much for that very generous offer. It's a terrific way for people to try something new. Now I'm going to ask you three questions. Rapid fire, just for fun. Don't be nervous. Just answer with whatever comes to mind. I love stuff like this, but it does make some people nervous. And so when I say don't be nervous, it probably makes it worse.
That's why you
But
love it.
exactly. I love it. So anyway, there we go. So do you watch television? And if you do, are you a person who watches like one episode and then comes back a few days later and watches another episode? Or are you a binger who picks a series and watches the whole thing all at once?
I'm somewhere between the two. So I do watch television and I get a bit obsessed with series. I am in. When I'm in, I am in. I do have to stop myself watching the whole thing. So I could kind of go for a good couple of weeks where it's the only thing that's on is this series that I'm watching and no one else gets a look in.
What's the last thing you binged on TV?
So Netflix, The Resident.
Oh, that's good. Okay,
Yeah.
very good. Thank you. Okay, what is something that people do that annoys you?
Oh my gosh, not keep promises to themselves.
Oh, good answer. All right. What is something that you have in your home today that you have had since you were a young child?
I actually don't think there's anything in this house that I've had since I was a young child.
Really?
Yeah, there may be something in our house in Italy, but when we came here, I genuinely moved here with two suitcases. We didn't ship anything over. I don't think there's anything here.
Wow. Okay. But that's because it's in the other house for
Yeah, so
that's
it's
where
not like
the.
we don't have any of it, but yeah, there is a box. Everyone's got one of the boxes, right? There is a box in another house. I know that sounds very bourgeois, but coming here, I came here with two suitcases, and we didn't ship anything over in terms of past stuff and furniture and stuff like that.
That is a perfect answer. That is amazing. All right, that's it. Shelley Bosworth, thank you so much for being an excellent guest today on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again. Please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.